Now, instead of being on 22, we're actually going to move 23 up into the lineup. I think it'll help shape us number 22 to be on the path to get to that. So, Al, if you want to go ahead and do the Lake Oahe water level presentation now, and then we'll come back to Pat on number 22.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Wolling, continuing on with the low snow theme here. I'll give you an update on the status of Lake Oahe and how that particularly affects boating and fishing access as the drought conditions kind of continue to persist here in the Missouri River Basin. We've got some slides here that we'll bring up here in a little bit. But overall, this is the time of year when the condition of Lake Oahe kind of somewhat comes into focus, the April, May area when some of the snow melt or snowpack up in the Rocky Mountains, normally peaks around April 15th. And that's kind of a major contributor of water to the Missouri River system. So that kind of helps kind of give a vision for what that is. But that said, even with the projections that the Corps of Engineers puts out, not an exact science on how to predict what the river, in particular Lake Oahe, will do in any given year. So it involves kind of a little bit of history, a little bit of interpolation of those things, and just kind of understanding kind of how the whole system kind of works as a whole. So when the Corps of Engineers puts out the projections for the full reservoir here in South Dakota, there's a short-term projection that's just about 3 weeks out, and there's also a long-term projection, which goes up about 12 months or so. So on the first slide, you can kind of see kind of how that kind of looks in terms of that long-term projection. And when they put that out, they actually put out three projections. One is called the upper basic projection, which considers higher than normal precipitation. The middle projection is called the basic, which is kind of normal conditions. And then the third is the lower basic, which is the projection under drier than normal conditions. And as you can see, there's a wide range, there's a wide discrepancy between those projections. So like I said, it does involve staff having to kind of be accustomed to what they know and what they see and kind of make some assumptions based on the data that we have, so we can more accurately project how these river levels are going to affect boating access along the river and some other recreational activities as well. So like I said, the big determiner is mountain snowpack, and on the Corps' website, they update every week what that snowpack is for 2 reaches of the basin. One is the watershed that flows directly into Fort Peck Reservoir up in Montana. And then the second one is which flows into Garrison Dam, which is basically the Yellowstone River. That's one of the biggest sources of water in that particular watershed. So those two watersheds contribute the vast majority of the water that enters the Missouri River system. And also on these projections, you can see kind of the historical extremes that have occurred over the last 20 or 30 years. The green line shows probably one of the lowest snowpack years on record in the last 30 years, which was about 2002. You see that on the bottom there. And then the purple and blue line there kind of shows some historical highs, leading back to 1997 and 2011 when snowpack was extremely high there. And then the blue is what's actually being recorded to date there. So you can see with the red line being the average of all those years, we are definitely tracking below average for the snowpack and potential runoff in the Missouri River system. And you can see the major there, even showing signs of it peaking already, which is a little bit early. Typically, the mountain snowpack peaks in about mid-April, and then starts to see it decline here. But maybe with so much precipitation we're seeing across the region, maybe we'll see another spike in that before it begins its eventual decline there. But yeah, the snowpack that's coming into the system is one of the lowest we've seen in a long time. Another thing we typically look at is, you know, what's the soil moisture conditions out there, and what's the ability for the watershed to let water run off and kind of soak in. And as we're seeing some of the soil moisture content, it's dry out there. No surprise to anybody that a lot of the moisture precipitation out there is going to get soaked up before it ever reaches the streams and the tributaries again. That's another reason to kind of, you know, we're in this lower basic projection. And then also the news, the drought monitor projections put out every so often there. This slide here shows kind of what the drought conditions are in Missouri River Basin. And again, very dry conditions, drought conditions. Portions of North Dakota and Minnesota have seen some good amounts of snowfall and precipitation, but to get west of that, south of that, we're still in the throes of a pretty significant drought here. This graph just shows a little bit about the storage zones in the reservoirs, and they're divided into four different zones. The top two are considered the flood control zones. The very top one is kind of exclusive, the extreme flood control or flood storage zone, and then there's the annual flood control and most likely zone there that is what, you know, most of the runoff that comes in during the spring from the snowmelt that usually typically occupies that zone in an average year. And then there's the carryover multiple use zone, which in the case of Lake Hawaii falls below 16.5, which is used for multiple purposes, such as recreation, irrigation, domestic use, those kind of things. So that kind of just shows where that slide. And then this graph just shows a little bit of kind of where the water is in terms of the Missouri River system. And you can see the top, the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe, by far store the most water in the Missouri River system. Lake Sharp and Lewis and Clark Lake are essentially pass through reservoirs with very, very, very little storage capacities in those to handle any flood storage or runoff there as well. And Lake Francis Key, those have a significant amount there. But as you can see, that the upper three reservoirs by far store the most water. So where we're at today, early April here, typically in a normal year, that occupied flood storage zone would be occupied by some percent of water there. It is going in into there with that zone starting to fill up, and it would typically peak probably in June or so. But as you see on Lake Hawaii, we're not even into the flood control zone yet. And as far as the multiple storage zone, it's only 83% full. So basically, Lake Oahe is not even going to see a rise this year. It's just going to start to decline, and already has already started to decline some, and it will continue to decline throughout the year. A major event that turned that around, but if the drought conditions continue as they are, we would expect to see decline levels on Lake Oahe. But they, where we're at today, the elevation of the Oahe Dam or Oahe Reservoir is 1596.4. The multi-purpose operating level is 1607, so we're 10 feet below that normal operating pool, which is typically where the year ends. So, and the other reservoirs, such as Fort Peck and Garrison, are also over 10 feet down from their normal operating pool. So, as far as the amount of water that goes through the system every year, they've been tracking that at a aging station at Sioux City for over 124 years. So you kind of see the amount of water that actually passes by Sioux City, which is basically the releases that come out of Gavis Point Dam. And then prior to the dam system, it goes back even farther into the 19th century. But that's a long history of how much water has come down the Missouri River there. And you can see where we ended 2021 was on the low end. And if projections for a lower runoff year come true, it'll probably be within the top 10 lowest runoff years in 124 years. Then a little historical graph on Lake Oahe to kind of show where we're at today and where the projections are showing us for elevations on the reservoir this coming year. This one goes back to 1968, but again, it shows some of those drought periods, the late 80s and early 90s, and then obviously the big drought back in 2002 to 2006, and then it kind of shows where we're at today. That red line represents what the lower basic projection, if that holds true through the end of the year, that shows where we'll end the year on Lake Oahe. So all that all translates to boating access, and we've been looking at this for the last year or two, how this low water may affect access on Lake Hawaii particularly. Luckily, back in 2002 to 2006, during that period, the department invested $9 to $10 million in low water facilities to kind of chase water during that time. A little more difficult back then because we were literally chasing the water as it went down. You can only work in so deep of water when you're trying to extend the boat ramp. Typically about 7 feet is about the maximum you can extend a boat ramp into the water. So that period of time back then was spent trying to address the lowering water as best as we can. And some of those facilities are coming back into service as the water recedes here in the last few years. And we've been monitoring some of those boat ramps, which ones have gone out of service, which ones we've begun to transition to some of those low water facilities that were built back in that period, and then also which facilities that we might try to do some new projects and new improvements to improve access on that. So I'll just kind of give you an idea. That one just shows the upper stretch of Lake Hawaii, kind of which ramps are open, which ones are currently closed. Now, the next one shows just the lower stretch of Lake Hawaii. So back in 2002, there was a work group that was put together to help guide, where some of these low water facilities and where the resources would be put towards. So that was kind of part of the decision-making process during that time to try to address which low ramps would be good candidates for improvements that we could have low water facilities there, and which ones were probably more of the infeasible range that there's not a lot of options to do that. So, what we try to do is try to cover a lot of the different stretches. Lake Hawaii is a big lake, and it's hard to keep access on a limited basis, and where you can put low ramps and things like that. But for the most part, that is a lot of the main access areas are pretty good condition, and we're continuing to assess where the condition of those ramps are as the water recedes. So the last year, just kind of tracking some of the boat ramps that have gone out of service. The red ones there are the ones that once they went out of service, that particular access unit does not have any other alternatives there. So roughly about 5 ramps there last year went out of service, which there were no low water ramps at those sites to transition to, so there is currently no access at those 5 sites there, which is Joya Flat, Okobojo, Dodge Draw, Thomas Bay, and Shaw Creek there. But on the lower part of the list there, you'll see some of the access sites where the primary ramp, or what we call maybe the high water ramp, has gone out of service. But we've been able to bring a low water ramp into service at that point and try to continue access as best as possible. Sometimes when the low water ramps come out of the water, it needs some gravel, it needs some rock, sometimes the soil, it can hard gravel, or we just muck, so you let it dry out a little bit. So we're working trying to bring some of those facilities back into service. What we're seeing most of the time, they are, even though they've been underwater for 15 years, they're in still pretty good shape. and it takes a little bit of effort to get them back, but they're still able to put into service. Probably our biggest enemy, as we kind of see these areas pulled back out of the water, is silt. And over that period of time, especially depending on where the area is or what the water levels were, the silt deposition on those areas can be extreme. Again, just the more the ramp that will likely be transitioning this coming year. East Whitlock there, we'll be transitioning to a low water ramp there. There's currently two ramps at East Whitlock, one on the north side of the road, one on the south side of the road. So the north ramp will be transitioning to a low water ramp there pretty soon. Minikanju is another area where we'll be transitioning to a ramp. We haven't quite been able to know what that looks like yet. We've actually are looking at getting a diver out there to kind of look underwater there to see which city sites might be covered in silt, which sites might have some settling of ramp, plank there. So we're going to try to do a little bit more exploration there to see which ones might be in trouble, which ones are looking good, so we can hopefully get a little ahead of the curve and if we can get the contractors on site, we can get that lined up at such time when those come out of the water. And Chantier Creek is another kind of difficult ramp that we're assessing right now. It does have a good low water ramp there, but there's kind of a transition zone where there's just an incredible amount of silt there that you just can't deal with until it gets actually lower. So if the water continues to drop there, Chantier Creek, we could possibly bring that low water ramp into service. But as it is right now, the silt in the coverage there is too extreme. So just an aerial view of a boat ramp like Minikanju. This is just a photo of what it looks like at high water. The ramp on the south there shows the high water access there. And on the next slide, you can see what it looks like going back to 2004, where that low water is up in the upper left there. So in that water drop, there's still a lot of land there, and we'll eventually see that ramp there again, but then we get a good chance to get a good look at it, we'll not quite sure what the condition of that ramp is. And this shows that the ramp at Chantier Creek at high pool. Again, it's very serviceable under high water, but under the next scenario, there you can see where there's a whole lot of delta, a whole lot of ramp there that could be allowed. And getting access onto these sites is also a challenge because it's all going down the water. Shale bank there, maybe adding gravel, trying to make sure that's firm for both trucks. So, that's kind of where we're at. There's a risk here with the lower projections. It's anticipated that Lake Hawaii is going to drop potentially another 10 feet under the lower basic conditions. And like I say, unless something really turns around drastically here, that's the model we're going to follow. And it seems like every projection and every month that comes out with Corps of Engineers kind of tends to go a little bit lower. We haven't seen it go the other way yet. So, but the good news is I think, our main access sites, especially a lot of our wreck areas, are in pretty good shape. There's still a little bit of question on some of these, like Chantier Creek and Minikanju, but we got to do a little bit more reconnaissance and understand where they're at. I think we're bracing for another year of lower water, but the good news is I think there's going to be a lot of good access out there. Folks will be able to get on the river to make you a little bit more understand what we're putting out. And if there's any information that we need to get out to the public, we'll make sure we get that out as best we can and keep things updated and keep people appraised of what's going on with our boat ramp. With that, be glad to take any questions.
Mr. Sharper, Al, a good presentation. I appreciate you putting that together. I think it's important for our sportsmen out there to have a list to go look at so they can plan accordingly as they head off to the river to take advantage of the great fishing opportunities out there. So thank you for doing that. Appreciate it.
Is there something we're doing with the marketing side of this to the people as they're coming out? Before they get to the boat ramp, is some very service management side. What's the easiest way for someone that isn't, maybe on social media or Twitter, what do you suggest for them?
Yes.
Commissioner Chris Hull, communication specialist, Nick Harrington. Yeah, I think we both agree that, social media is a great way, but also targeted emails to all our licensed anglers. I mean, I was just thinking to cut and paste this presentation with Al's audio, send it out. We see high open rates whenever we're talking about water access ramps. Also sharing it with the other Facebook message groups, you know, the West River Fishing, your Missouri River Fishing stuff. But yeah, that's the main plan.
And to build off that, Nick Harrington, communications manager. Our GIS team is top-notch, too. That fishing access map, our park staff do a great job keeping it up to date. Our fishery staff do a great job keeping it up to date. And that's a really utilized resource, too. And at dusk, like that said, that was screenshots just to bless the vacancy. Ramp is open, ramp is closed. And then, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities, and that we'll continue to talk to our customers and hoping we see a lot more water coming, too. So that'd be nice as well.
I think we've got Pat standing by, and I think we can wrap up, Pat, with you for the day if you don't mind. GM do the grand finale for the day.
That would be spectacular. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roblin, Pat Buescher here, District Supervisor at Oahe Downstream Recreation Area. As Al just kind of explained, the scenario with the continuing drought and low water certainly have an impact on our marina at the Spring Creek Recreation Area. Chris, if you want to bring up the conceptual layout plan for me.
Yeah, I picked the
wrong one. That real quick. I have to commend staff, Anna Klingbeil and Shane Swenson, who have been working nonstop, staying in communication with our slip holders, establishing leases for this coming season, and, providing updates of the realistic probability of a shortened season of the marina. On this diagram, you can see high water levels of elevation 16, 17, where the bay's full of water. Then you look at 1593, which is a probability we're going to see sooner rather than later. But you can see by the next blue line, 1577 elevation, that this is a very steep bay. So our goal is to try and keep this marina, based on the current forecast, to be operable through the 4th of July weekend. We may be able to do some realignment with that main dock system, with the walkway that leads out to the platform. Thank you, Chris. And maybe tweak that a little bit to the southwest so we get that, what we refer to as D-dock, off that shale point that extends out. Those are our two concerns, plus maintaining navigable access from the boat ramp out past the breakwater to the great fishing that people are going to experience this summer. If we can move on to the next layout there for me, the tentative dock location, what we're currently working on, or I should say would be working on if it wasn't blowing 50 miles an hour in here. I just have to say I'm happy to be inside this afternoon. But what we're planning to do is we're going to be moving docks in preparation for the season. So we've got some non-electrical docks that we can move and still maintain within the protected breakwater area of the marina. But the main portion of the dock system, which is, there we go, the ones we'll be moving out are labeled E and F that we'll put over there on the point. And then the main dock system, A, B, C, and D, those are the ones we're going to try and maintain service. Hopefully we can maintain service down in the low 1590s in elevation. We just need to make sure that we keep these from being beached and damaged long term. goals moving forward is to stay in communication with our SLIP holders. We've been working on that. We're going to be engaging them either through virtual meetings or in-person meetings. Met with division leadership, and we've decided if we have a shortened season that we're going to refund those unused portions of their SLIP agreement that last through September of each year. One thing we'll have to stay on top of as we monitor the marina throughout the summer is to coordinate with those SLIP holders when and if we've got to remove boats so those SLIP sections can be shuttled and stored in deeper water until the reservoir rises. I've been working with the Corps of Engineers on that to devise a location where we can keep those in a deep water area and protected from the wind. With that, we're hoping to provide service throughout a good portion of the summer for a good portion of the boat SLIP renters. And forecasts are simply that, they're forecasts, and we just wish for rain or snow. I'd be happy to take any questions that you may have, but I also want to put in a plug for our new concessionaire, Lauren Forrest, that things are really taking shape up there. So to end on good news, she's got a hard opening on May 11th this spring, so we're looking forward to great things there. So once again, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Pat, great presentation. I really appreciate that. Anybody have any questions for Pat? Nope. Not for today. Thanks, Pat. I appreciate everything you put together here.
Thank you.
We'll look up there this summer. And with that, I think that we'll call today a day and stand in recess until tomorrow morning. And I look forward to seeing everybody back here in person, and those of you online, we look forward to joining us in the morning. We'll be in recess next.